Blog Talk Radio.
Only God can judge us.
Is that right?
Only God, man. Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Ready?
Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Assed in the back, I couldn't trust my own home. Just a bunch of dirty facts. Will I succeed? Never know it from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone. Tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth. Cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hurt. And they say it's the white man I should fear. But it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all my memories of seeing brothers bleed and everybody grieve, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media is full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
Can make it, got a body full of bullet holes laying here, naked still. I can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but do the Lord care? Trying to remember, but it hurts. I'm walking through the cemetery.
Salaam alaikum, family. It's your brother, Brother X, back once again for another exclusive Light 'Em Up radio broadcast. And tonight, we're definitely going to be dealing with a controversial topic, and it's a topic for the ages. It's a topic that must be discussed. There's a lot going on. Every day, every week we come back, there's more going on that week than the other previous week. So, if it be the help of Allah, God, we're going to be diving deep tonight into our topic, and we will be declaring to the world who is God, who is His Christ, and who is the Messiah. That's right. We're going to be asking the questions, who are their enemies? And what is the purpose of their enemies? Because the time is at hand, and we need to show and prove how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is indeed the Jesus of the New Testament. And we will reveal Satan and his dumb devils, and we will show where they are at in the book. And we will show how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the main chess piece against Satan. And we will also show and prove how powerful the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really is in his opposition, and is opposition to him being on the wrong side of history. So we're going to get into it tonight. Inshallah, my sister Desiree, or my brother Jawan, will join me tonight. But if not, it's all good. It's all good, because there's a lot that needs to be said. There's a lot that needs to be talked about. There's a lot going on in the news. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really is the centerpiece of everything that's going on. Everything that we hear about, everything that we're seeing, everything that we're looking at, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the centerpiece for everything that's going on. Because we have to realize who he is and the influence of the Son of Man amongst us today. So we're going to have a great show, and I'm looking forward to spending these next few hours dropping real science, real jewels for all of us to benefit. So I pray Allah uses me to deliver this message tonight, because it's a timely message, and again, it needs to be said, and it needs to be made clear who we are and what we're dealing with and who we're dealing with. And as being a gangster minister, standing on the wrong side of history. So, we got a good show for y'all tonight. So first, you know, as usual, I like to go into the news to see if, of course, the enemy is doing what he does best and spew his propaganda and his hate against the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam. You know, I like to go into the news and give y'all the up-to-date current events on what's going on in regards to the Nation of Islam in particular. Surprisingly enough, they haven't really been saying that much against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. However, you still have your cronies here or there, you know, who like to come out and throw a seed here, throw a rock there. So, you know, the minister has been in the news for really every day since Savior's Day of 2016, 2017. Every day he's been in the news. So that's really nothing new. But nevertheless, of course, they're trying to link the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to the Democratic Party. Now, we all know we're the Nation of Islam. We don't consider ourselves affiliated or part of any kind of political agency such as, or political party such as Republican or the Democrats or the Green Party or whatever you want to call it. We don't associate, we don't affiliate ourselves with them. You know, however, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has allies in the Democratic Party, or those who do represent themselves as Democrats, such as our sister Maxine Waters. But that does not mean that the minister shares their Democratic view. We are not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're Muslims. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a Muslim. So, that being said, of course, the Republicans and the alt-right, they're trying to link the minister to the Democratic Party, which is actually it's a pseudo-reach. That's a pseudo-reach. The minister is not a Democrat. He ain't a Republican. He doesn't represent either one of those parties. And if really, truth be told, as far as we're concerned, both parties can really go to hell, because both parties have been doing nothing but being detriment to black people as a whole anyway. So, and we've been trying to tell people that that's nothing but Satan casting out Satan. You know, so either way, shape or form, we don't rock with either or, period. So, since that's the case, of course, they're trying to link the minister to that. But other than that, the minister's really been, he hasn't been in the news as of late in that magnitude. Of course, he was a few weeks ago after his Savior's Day, his beautiful Savior's Day address, but he revealed to the world that he is indeed the Messiah. Now, we're going to go into that heavy tonight. So y'all just stay tuned. I'm going to take me a little break, and I'll be right back with y'all in a few minutes.
And in the loving memory of Richard Anthony. Can I kick it? Drop a ball.
like Ronda Rousey. Talk a lot of shit on social media on Friday. Get that ass kicked out of here, wake up Sunday ill and drowsy. Ducking through the airport Monday morning feeling lousy. Yup, these are the breaks. Yup, is it karma or is it fake? Yup, you're now rocking with the great. I told you motherfuckers, me and Destiny had a date. Look, I came in the game in the name of the messenger. On the inside of my black trick bag, I had a plethora. Electrified the pulse of the game at the core like Tesla. And penetrated every realm of society like Kissinger. Special officer flowers in the army of the Lord. Commander of forgotten angels at home and abroad. It sure as the mother plane is the throne of a rod. I swear to go into the stone and come home with the sword. It's globally known. I float on the track like the Coast Guard. Every pigeon I spit is like a train or a postcard. It's magic the way I created fame out of folklore, and got bigger than Tom Hanks when he was playing by the Zotar. I'm shining my light with the passion of the Christ haters. The force is awakened, I'm brandishing my lightsaber. Staring in the mirror every morning as I pause, caressing the scars from the brawls and wars that this life gave us.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Pop a bomb on the ass, son of man, son of man. Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Can
I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Drop a bomb on the ass, son of man, son of man.
This is blasphemy, James. This is blasphemy. I gave that little cockroach life, and he blasted me. Niggas made all those memes, and they laughed at me. It's World War III, motherfucker.
Yeah, we back. We back. Now, for those of you who get rough around the edges because you hear a little cussing here or there, don't trip. Because it's not like you don't use that kind of language anytime, any place, anywhere, anyway. So I ain't trying to hear all that. But, yeah, we want to deal with this subject, man. We want to deal with this subject. We have to understand everything that we're seeing right now, everything that we're seeing right now is rooted in who Allah is, who his Christ is, who the Messiah is. We have to understand that. Everything that we're seeing right now is rooted in those three men, those three individuals, who are really the most powerful individuals in the universe right now as we speak. I understand Satan comes and he fools us with all his wonders. So therefore, we believe that he's the most powerful individual in the universe. We believe that the white man, the ADL, whatever you want to call them, synagogue of Satan, we believe that they are the most powerful individuals in the universe, which is the reason why a lot of us are afraid, and this is the reason why a lot of us don't actually back the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we're afraid to tell the world and declare to the world who he is. And stand on that with strength and conviction. We're afraid to stand on the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Keeping it real. So we come with, it's easy to tiptoe around the tulips and dance around the tulips when it comes to the identity of the minister. Because to do that, would mean we would have to dance around and tiptoe around the tulips in regards to our own rendezvous with destiny. So I need y'all to understand what I'm talking about. So we don't, the number one aim of this world is to kill the messenger of God. We know this. So we've been taught. And we can see this if we're really paying attention to what we're looking at. The number one aim of this world is to kill the messenger of God. It's to destroy the messenger of God. It's to obliterate the messenger of God and his message. That's the number one aim of this world. What does that say for his followers, though? When Jesus was amongst the people and he was doing miracles, and you know, he was preaching and teaching, and you know, he was amongst the sinners. You know, of course, it was easy to walk with the man during the cool of the day. It was easy to walk with the Jesus when he was teaching in different places and meeting different people and you know, and showing love and giving good news to the poor. It was easy to walk with Jesus. The disciples had it good. You know, everywhere he went, they followed. Everywhere he said go, they went. Everywhere he said stay from, they stayed from. It was easy. See? But then something happened. Jesus began teaching a little bit more harder and a little bit more bolder, not only against his enemies, but he was teaching a little bit more harder and a little bit more bolder about himself. I want y'all to pay attention to what I'm saying. He was teaching a little bit more harder and a little bit more bolder about himself. He was hanging around the disciples day in and day out, every day, every night, to the point where he was like, figuratively speaking, he was like, I've been around them for a while. I wonder what they think of me. So one day he posed a question to the disciples. He said, who do they say that I am? A couple of them said, oh, well, you know, Jesus, they said that you Elijah. Another one said, oh, well, you know, you're John the Baptist. And Jesus wasn't satisfied with that answer. And he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and he said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Ponder over that for a minute. Peter stood up and said to Jesus, to his face, that you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, and you are the Son of the living God. Now, question is, was Peter the only one who knew that? Or did the rest of them know that and they were afraid to say it? But why would they be afraid to tell Jesus who he is or reveal to Jesus who he is? It's not like Jesus didn't already know. And Jesus responded to Peter by saying, a blessing unto you, Peter. He said, paraphrasing, I don't have the book in front of me, but he said, because you did not learn this from mortal man, but from my Father who is in heaven. And he said, you, Peter, are the rock in which I will build my church. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. And whenever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So in that in itself, Jesus pushed Peter or anointed Peter as really the heir apparent, if you will. I'm just letting Allah speak through me right now. Not saying that Peter would take the place as God's only begotten son. But Peter, due to his revelation of who Jesus was, just by seeing him work, Peter was able to get closer to the master, to the master teacher. But that wasn't sufficient enough, because eventually, even though Peter spoke boldly on who Jesus was, when the Romans and the Pharisees were closing in on Jesus, that conviction turned into fear. So what happened? The Pharisees and the Romans, they began to close in on Jesus. And Jesus was eating with the disciples, Last Supper, as they call it. He told them straight up, the disciples, he said, one of you here is going to betray me. Now, I'm not going to quote everything word for word. I just want y'all to get the gist of what I'm saying. He said, one of you here are going to betray me. Peter was the first one to declare to Jesus that he was the Messiah. So likely, you would think he'll be the first one to declare to Jesus that, oh no, ain't nothing's going to happen to you while I'm here. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus made a statement. Jesus said, where I'm going, y'all cannot follow me. And then Peter said, why can't I follow you now? And Jesus said, you will come to me later. And then Peter said, well, I will die for you. And Jesus said, would you die for me, Peter? And Peter said, yeah, of course I will. And then Jesus told Peter to his face, I tell you now, 3 times you would deny me before the cock crows in the morning. Now, of course, I'm assuming that will fall on, like, the disciples would be shocked hearing Jesus tell his chief student, really, Peter, that he's going to deny him 3 times. I just want y'all to pay attention to what I'm saying. So if there was no hope for Peter, who was really the one who was the most outspoken, the most bold, and the most fearless in his revelation towards Jesus, then what hope did the disciples have? Of course, Peter didn't think that was going to happen. But as time was beginning to set on Jesus, as time was beginning to close in on Jesus, start seeing Peter slip up. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And as he's praying, he realizes nobody's around him. Nobody's standing around him. Nobody's flanking him. He specifically told his disciples to watch and pray. But then he sees his helper, Peter, sound asleep. And Jesus says, he calls Peter's name in particular. He said, you asleep, Peter? You could not watch for me even for a little while? I just want us to understand what we're looking at. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has declared to us before that he was Peter at one time. And he has expressed to us so many times that he felt like he denied his Lord when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed in 1975. And when he followed the imam into hypocrisy, just keeping it real, I'm using straight language with y'all. That's what he called it. And of course, hearing the word from Brother Jabril, it was able. The Honorable Minister was Farrakhan was able to stand back up. And all praise due to Allah. Allah brought him back from hypocrisy to being not only just a believer, not only just a Muslim, not only standing up as the fearless national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but he stood the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan up to be the Messiah himself, even though the minister had his doubts. We have to understand that the minister was the only one who declared to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that he was and is the exalted Christ, just as Peter did. Does that say for us who are his followers and his students today? Again, it's easy to walk with the man during the cool of the day, but as we're noticing now in the news, in the streets, on social media, off social media, there's a big fight feel in the air, in the atmosphere. Something's going to happen. All these things that are coming up now in the media. We spoke about R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, the recent election of President Donald J. Trump, prior before that, police killings outright. Ain't nothing new. It's been happening all along. But with the emergence of social media, of course, it looks new. Riots in the streets. Civil unrest. It's all geared towards what, man? It's 2019. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan comes before the world and declares that he is the Messiah before the world in 2019. 400 years from now, 400 years ago, directly 400 years ago, it was 1619. Prior before that, it was a 64-year period of the breaking of the slave. The making of a slave and the breaking of a slave, actually both. 64 years, you get 1555. From 1555, you add another 400 years, you get what? 1955. I just want us to pay attention to what we're looking at. We have English lesson C1. In English lesson C2. Think about it. English lesson C1, English lesson C2. 1 + 2 = what? 3. So is it C as in the letter or C as in the word? The 15th letter in the English alphabet is a letter S. The fifth letter in the English alphabet is the letter E. And another fifth letter in the English alphabet is the letter E. You got S-E-E, 1555. Excuse me, 1955. The 19th letter in the English alphabet is the letter S, excuse me. So you have 1955. So it's English lesson C1, English lesson C2, and then you add that together, you got C3, 1955, S55. So, we have to understand and pay attention to what is going on. The minister, the honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan, declared that he is the Messiah. Now, I know a lot of our black brothers and sisters out there, they know about COINTELPRO. They know about the FBI. They know about the civil rights movement, the civil rights struggle. And I want to be emphatically clear about this point I'm about to make here. We all know J. Edgar Hoover was looking for the black Messiah. The FBI, they want to prevent the rise of a black Messiah. That's what it says in the COINTELPRO FBI files, archives, memos, wherever you want to call it. You see, he knew, J. Edgar Hoover, he knew that our persecution would be answered by the sovereign Lord of hosts. Just as the persecution of the children of Israel was finally answered by the birth of Jesus. But J. Edgar Hoover, being the ignorant, dumb devil that he was, he didn't know where to look to find this black Messiah. So J. Edgar Hoover, just like Herod in the Bible, New Testament, began killing our leaders. Medgar Evers, Bobby Hutton, Fred Hampton, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, just to name a few, who were directly or indirectly assassinated by the FBI. If you read in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 16 to 23, it shows what happens with Herod and his merciless, ruthless afflictions against the children of Israel in search of Jesus or the Messiah who was prophesied to be born or who to come at that time period. And eventually, J. Edgar Hoover, he ended up missing the birth of Jesus. Or the birth of the minister, spiritual birth of the minister for that matter. Just like how Herod ended up missing the birth of Jesus, and Jesus and his mother fled into Egypt. Just trying to paint the picture here for us so we can understand, again, what we're looking at. I'm going to read this for y'all real quick, so we can understand from the biblical perspective. It says right here in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children that was in Bethlehem and all in the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, and it was weeping and great mourning. Rachel was weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they were not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take your child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother, and they came into the land of Israel. They came back to Israel when they found out that Herod was dead." So we see this, though, being fulfilled in the 60s. Just like Harry Jagger, who, like I said, was killing our leaders, the FBI, Mega Everest, Bobby Hutton, Fred Hampton, and others. So they even said in the FBI COINTELPRO memos that Malcolm X was the potential Messiah. And they said it couldn't be Elijah Muhammad because Elijah Muhammad was too old. So it was between either Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. Martin Luther King had the ability to unite both races. They knew that. And I believe personally when they saw Martin Luther King meeting with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X, when they really began to go into action with their wicked agenda. But again, that's just dealing with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. All along, just like Jesus as a child, all along, they didn't pay attention to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So they end up missing. But what else did they miss? Not only, see, Allah's, he's all wise, man. He's all knowing, man. Not only did J. Edgar Hoover end up missing the minister's apparent rise as the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's departure, but in 1974, eventually, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI came to the conclusion that Master Farah Muhammad was nowhere to be found. If you read in the FBI file 2533-0971, you'll find that the FBI noted that their apparent long search for Wallace Farah Muhammad or Master Farah Muhammad was found to be inconclusive, meaning that they couldn't locate Allah in person. In 1974, mind you, they came to this conclusion, which means from 1933 all the way up to 1974, they were looking for Master Farah Muhammad and trying to locate Master Farah Muhammad. To 1974, which was the last year the Honorable Elijah Muhammad addressed us publicly before his departure the next year. I want us to understand what we're looking at. So they believe the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died in 1974, and they killed Malcolm and Martin Luther King in 1965 and 1968. So therefore, they believed that the Messiah was dead. The black Messiah was dead. You had Malcolm, he was gone. Martin was gone. Elijah, they believe, was also gone. So where was the threat to their system of white supremacy? There was no threat because they believed that everybody who was a potential threat was dead. Just like how the Romans and the people who were under the jurisdiction of Judea, under the authority of Herod, the son of Herod the Great, how they believed the Messiah was dead until they heard a voice crying in the wilderness. So, it appeared that the FBI won a great victory. It appeared that the United States government won a great victory. Malcolm gone, Martin gone, Elijah, they believe, was gone. And not to mention, Wallace, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, literally destroyed the Nation of Islam. Every pillar was knocked down. Every pillar was knocked down. So what threat did they have? The Black Panthers was already full of agent provocateurs and informants. Threat was left for the United States government. They believed the Messiah, the Black Messiah, was dead. The Nation of Islam was no more at all. Wallace completely destroyed his father's work. But Allah is the best of planners. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, by the grace of Allah, stood back up. He began redoing his spiritual father's work. Just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did decades before when Master Farah Muhammad departed. I remember reading Mother Clara. It was a quote, and I should have it I should have it to read word for word, but I'm gonna paraphrase our dear mother. She said, when Master Farah Muhammad left, there were so many splinter groups rising after his departure, and they all hated her husband. Paraphrasing. I'm going to get the exact quote, and I'll post it as soon as I get off of this. But I'm saying that to say, just as that happened with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad after Master Muhammad's departure, it happened with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's departure. We have to pay attention to what we're looking at and what is being done and what is being said today. But you have to go back into history, and we have to be able to pinpoint every single thing if we're able to say, see, look, man, if we're saying that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah, that's exactly what we're saying. We're saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the Christ, and we're saying that Master Farah Muhammad is God in person, the great Mahdi. So we have to put the proper context in every single thing. Everything that we're talking about, everything that we believe in, is written of in the mother book. So we have to go back to understand what we're looking at today, because a lot of us walking around here as if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did not just declare that he is the Messiah, and we do not know what that actually means, not as just believers, but as his followers. Because just as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or Jesus at that time in the New Testament, was persecuted and he was hunted down by the Pharisees and the Romans, just as he was hunted down by the scribes and the rest of the Sanhedrins and the other people who collaborated against him, they eventually, after Jesus left, began going after who? The disciples. Period. They were persecuted, hunted, executed. So, and this was happening after Jesus left the scene. So now we fast forward to the minister. He's doing great work. And he's clearing the mud off of the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like no one has done before. And eventually the minister begins to grow and evolve in his understanding of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said of the minister that he is a star without equal. If he's a star without equal, then we have to look at, was everything preordained for it to happen since the writing of both Bible in Holy Quran now. As I said, 1555, 1955, 400 years. 1619, 2019, 400 years. English lesson C1, C2, you C3, 1955. The letter S, 19th letter in the English alphabet. The letter E, fifth letter in the English alphabet. And you add another one, another fifth letter of the English alphabet, 1955. We have to understand what we're looking at. So, just like his father, prior before him, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan got into a conflict with so-called Jews over Jesse Jackson. His run for the presidency of the United States of America. The minister has noted before, he said, my father did not get into a fight with the Jews. He spoke on the Jews, but he didn't get into a fight. So he did not get into a fight with the Jews, like how the minister is in a fight with the Jews. So, the ministers begin, he begins to get persecuted, judged, mocked, scorned, evilly spoken of by white folks in the 80s and in the 90s. But eventually, that opened up the door for black people to also do the same thing to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So the minister begins receiving enemies from both black and white. He receives enemies from both black and white. Then the talk goes around that the minister is deviating from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So now I want us to understand. So now we have another paradigm here. And that paradigm is that just as the Jews, so-called Jews, were coming at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the early 90s and in the late 80s, all of a sudden you see different people such as Silas Muhammad and a couple other people who used to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they began coming out and speaking against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, saying that he's not speaking the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So and then we go up a little further and we go into the early 90s, all the way up to Brother Khaled's suspension from teaching or as from national assistant and Supreme Captain. He gets suspended. So now, Khaled begins to cause a rift in the nation. And a lot of people began to follow Khaled out of the nation, one of those people being a huge slanderer of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan today. He go by the name of Eric Muhammad out of Atlanta, Temple number 15. Putting that into context, they say that they're saying of the minister that he's not teaching the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He's deviating. He's a hypocrite. That's what they say about the minister, which is a damn lie. So we want to show and prove where this is at in the scriptures. If we read in the New Testament, in particular in the book of John, we see it. The minister, or Jesus, Jesus is being stalked by Pharisees and so-called Jews. Every move that Jesus makes, the Jews are right behind him, criticizing, causing ruckuses in the crowd and heckling Jesus. He can never even really finish a full, complete sermon without being interrupted or questioned by the so-called Jews. So we see this. Right now, as we speak, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can't even complete a lecture without one of these Pharisees, these black Pharisees, coming behind him is slandering his name. They question the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on everything he does, everything he says, every move he makes, everywhere he goes. He cannot catch a break from these black Pharisees, just as he can't take a break from these white Pharisees or the ADL. So now the nation is divided into different splinter groups. You have some following a man named Marvin Muhammad, who is the leader of the new nation of Islam. You have some following a man named Royal Solomon, who is the leader of the United Nation of Islam. You have some following a man named Silence Muhammad, who was the leader of the so-called Lost Foundation of Islam. There's different splinter groups now. You have the 5% nation. You have the Nation of Gods or Earth. You have all these different splinter groups coming from the Nation of Islam, back from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's original Nation of Islam. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the only one amongst all of these people who are actually not only standing on what the messenger taught, but he's standing on the principles that the messenger taught. These people do not have enough heart, and they do not have enough passion to fully teach the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad without slandering anybody. They can't do it. They can't stand on their square, and that's the reason why a lot of them are being depicted as now, I believe, as Allah is revealing this, as the Pharisees amongst black people. So the minister can't even take a picture without even being criticized and mocked and scorned. He can't even sit down. He can't even eat a decent meal without one of these little hypocrites running around here taking his photo and putting it on social media for people to mock him and scorn him and ridicule him. What for? For which of his good works do they stone him? So we have not only the white Pharisees, the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, we're dealing with the FBI, the CIA, we're dealing with all these people. No, we're dealing with also the black ones, the Negroes. It says in the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name were born, not of blood, nor of their will of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. So what do they call the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? They call him a false prophet. They call him a cult leader. They call him a pimp, a manipulator. They call him insane, a false leader, a con artist. They even got the nerve to call him a con and even a murderer. What did he do to make them hate him so? And I'm not speaking about the open enemy. I'm talking about our people, who are these black Pharisees. What did he do? All he did was tell our people the truth and that he loved our people. And despite all their pain and suffering, he still loves them. This is the passion of the Messiah that we're looking at. And then it's that unconditional love that is making the minister stand out from any other so-called student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who has one of these splinter groups. They have the nerve to assassinate his character. He stands on truth. He speaks with passion. He defends his people. He's a champion of truth. To the point where wherever he goes all over the world, he's accepted and respected. But only when he comes amongst his own is when he's mocked and ridiculed and scorned. For what? A lot of these Negroes are actually agent provocateurs. We have to talk about this and we have to deal with it because, again, we're talking about the Messiah. This all plays a part. This all plays a part. And this is what we don't want to do. We want to sweep it under the rug. And, I mean, why are y'all giving them this attention? Why shouldn't we give it attention? If we're discussing the Messiah and we're saying that the crucifixion is near, the hour is close. Why shouldn't we discuss it? So let's look into the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And say, he went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get all of this? What is his wisdom? What is his wisdom they given to him, that he's given? What mighty works are brought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are those not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. What did the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan just tell us this past Savior's Day, when he received gift from Q Dogs and the Alpha and Omegas? I'm probably getting that wrong, but he received a gift from one of our sororities, and it was a purple robe. And he said, this gift, I'm paraphrasing, he said, this gift meant the most to me because this gift showed that I was finally accepted by my people. Bear witness to the scripture I just read. So how do we know who the Messiah is? If the Messiah was present, could we even recognize him? Can we see a literally walking in the very book that we all read, both Bible and Holy Quran? The people during the time of Jesus, according to the New Testament, did not recognize who the deliverer was, or the Messiah was, even though they were looking at him. Again, Jesus asked the question to the disciples, have I been among you this whole time and you do not see? And these same people rejected him, calling him a false prophet, calling him a liar and an imposter. What do they say about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan today? He's a liar. No, they don't call him a liar. They do not call him a liar, but they do call him a false prophet. And they do say that he is that he's working for the United States government, that he's an agent provocateur, and he's an informant because he's alive. What kind of silly mess is that? So let's put this in the proper context. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words here. I do have this quote word for word in his lecture called An Appeal to the Disciples of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said these words. He said, you say you love Elijah Muhammad, you're a bunch of liars. Because if you loved him, you would walk with me. If you loved him, you'd back me. If you loved him, you'd help me. If you loved him, you'd never leave me out here by myself with 30 million crazy people. If you love my father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So now the minister comes back 2019, and he declares to the world that he's the Messiah. What does this mean? We're seeing a lot of things going on in the news today. We've seen a lot of people being swayed by the court of public opinion, but we do not understand that it was the court of public opinion that actually said about Jesus, crucify him. It was the court of public opinion that turned against Jesus. The same people who were chanting Hosanna, Hosanna, was chanting crucify him. The same people who the Jesus and the New Testament came to save, the same people who he came to deliver, the same people who he was prophesied to come, were the same people who turned their backs. That's a damn shame. And we're talking about black people. That's what we're talking about. Remember what the minister did Savior's Day. He made a clear distinction between the Jesus of 2,000 years ago and the Jesus of the New Testament. The Jesus of the New Testament is not the Jesus of the true history of Jesus given to us by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's two different Jesuses. So now we have to go into the lecture, the four Jesuses given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan over a decade ago. The minister mentioned in the lecture the four Jesuses. There may be even five Jesuses, but he wasn't going to go into that at that time. But let's do the math. He said black people in America are a Jesus. He said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a Jesus. Master Farah Muhammad, our Lord and Savior, is a Jesus. And he also said that the Jesus of 2,000 years ago is a Jesus. That's four Jesuses. But let's add one more, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's the Messiah. Five Jesuses. So therefore, we have five now. Bear witness to what the minister said in his lecture to four Jesus. He said it could be five. I won't go into that now. So let's dig a little deeper. So Jesus gets arrested in the New Testament. He gets arrested and they bring him to court. The chief priest, it says in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 59-63, it said the chief priest and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for Jesus' evidence, for false evidence against Jesus, so that they could put him to death. Stop right there. They were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. Look at all the false evidence that they're trying to bring against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan today. He's an anti-Semite. He's a bigot. He's a hate monger. He's a womanizer. Really? And that's just a false evidence from the white side. Now let's talk about the black side. He's an informant. He's an agent. He sold out to the Church of Scientology. He took money from the Million Man March. That's the black side. So now you got both black and white coming against the man of God who was the Messiah amongst us. So what is the purpose of Master Farah Muhammad? He's to give justice to both black and white. We don't think that we're going to have to pay a price for our rejection of the Messiah amongst us, even after he done revealed to us all his good works. And for white people, oh yeah, they definitely will have to pay a price, not only just for 450 years of captivity and enslavement and injustice and brutality and murder, but at the same time, they're going to have to pay for 6,600 years of killing all the indigenous and the aboriginal people of this planet. So, we add to the most recent list of sins that they committed, which is now the plan and the conspiracy against Jesus, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Son of Man, the Messiah, amongst us today. Both sides are guilty of this. Both sides are guilty of this. So when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes his rendezvous with destiny, we don't think that God is going to sit back and just fold his arms. No, he's going to make them pay for their mistreatment of his only begotten Son. So let's continue. It says right here, but they did not find any false evidence, that is. They did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. See, Jesus could have defended himself if he wanted to, but he remained silent. Why did he remain silent? Because he knew that they were going to lie on him, and he knew that they gathered false witnesses. This was a trap set by the so-called Jews, and they did it only because of the fact that they believed that Jesus was stupid. But Jesus foresaw this, and he was able to calculate their next moves. This was a trap set, and they wanted him to trip up the trap. Where do we see this at? What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tell the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? He said, quote, brother, they have set many traps for you. You would trip them up. but you will never get caught up in one of them. There are two of us backing you up, brother, Allah and myself. They killed their last prophet when they killed Prophet Jesus. Savior's Day, 1999. This is very significant. The minister wasn't telling us this simply because he wanted us to stand up and shout, long live Muhammad. Remember, the Jesus of the New Testament was looking for Elijah to get him off of the cross, but Elijah did not come. This is because the Jesus of the New Testament was 2,000 years too soon. Also, this goes for the prophet Jesus as well. The Holy Quran corrects the apparent crucifixion of Jesus. And it says that the Jews thought they killed him, but they killed him not. This is talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, indicating that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messiah, escaped death. Well, it's the same thing. As it was for the Father, so it is for the Son. He who sees the Son sees the Father. The minister will also escape. But it may not be in the way many of us think. So it says in the Bible, it says, now in the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. And upon the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a mighty voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Why was Jesus in the Bible calling for Elijah? Why Elijah? First, he called for God, but then a bystander said he was calling for Elijah. But what could Elijah have done? Why would he call for Elijah if Elijah is dead? This is just something for us to really sit back and really think about, because so much is being said, so much is being done, and we cannot afford in this hour to fall asleep and allow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to face this hour alone. We cannot afford it. We cannot. As a people, we've already built up so many sins. But remember, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Master Prophet Muhammad came to save us from the sins of white people. But what kind of sin are we committing if we deny the Messiah and he's here among us today? So, we're seeing this recent outcry against pedophilia and pedophilia and child molestation. We're seeing the outcry against our brothers R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is dead. The man can't defend himself. I want us to pay attention again. Michael Jackson is dead. The man cannot defend himself. So, what are they trying to show us? The white man, the Jews, these so-called Jews, is trying to show us that even when you're not on this planet, it can ruin your name. So, when the minister departs from us, he makes his rendezvous with destiny. Even when he's gone, they can ruin his name. They can ruin his estate, like how they're doing our brother Michael. I want us to think, why are they bringing up Michael again? The man was acquitted, and the FBI even said they couldn't find anything on him. Why are they bringing him up again? This is a sign for what is to come. The pedophile, which is this bastard Yaku bastard children, the white man, the white race, the pedophile, him, the white man, this pedophile white man, he's the one who's going to tell us about morality? I want us to pay attention. A few months ago, the sister who came with the surviving R. Kelly documentary, we found some tweets of hers, and she declared Malcolm X a hero for calling out a pedophile who she said was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See, Allah is revealing all things. She called the director of this Surviving R. Kelly documentary, called our messenger, Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a pedophile, and she declared Malcolm X a hero for revealing that information. See how the white man, see, we have to shut down our emotions, rise above your emotions into the thinking of God. Now, I'm not saying our brother R. Kelly isn't wrong in anything that he's done or he's being accused of doing. Now, some things he's done and some things definitely he's wrong about. But at the same time, we have to look at the bigger picture in regards to not R. Kelly, but regards to the minister who is the Messiah. So what do we think that they're going to say about him when he departs? We think it's going to be the same old argument. And this is another thing I want to understand. When we're talking about point number 12 and what the Muslims believe, we're talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad being physically alive. And we're talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan being the Messiah as well. That is both of those points. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad being physically alive and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the Messiah is rooted in point number 12 and what the Muslims believe. It's not enough to just defend Master Farrakhan Muhammad without defending his Christ and his Messiah. You have to defend all three. They're numbing the pain of our people to the point where we become so savage. I've seen so many disrespectful posts on social media at our sister Aaliyah, who is no longer here to defend herself. I've seen our people call her out of her name. I've seen our people disrespect her. I'm like, dang, the sister ain't here. Let her rest in peace. But we are so emotional, to the point where anytime somebody says something against anyone, especially regarding the Caucasian, to the point where they can say anything and we'll believe it. Off face value, we don't question, we don't analyze. I watched that Leaving Neverland documentary. I watched both parts, and them crackers is lying. I'm saying it straight up. Them crackers is lying. You're going to dig up a dead man now, and you're going to try to ruin his name? They're snatching his music, Michael Jackson's music, all off of the airwaves. They're snatching statues down of our brother, and the work that he's done, all the pain and the tears and the sweat, all that he's committed for not only our entertainment, but the brother is a historical black icon. They tearing him down like that. What do we think they're going to do to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he leaves us? And then what do we think that they're going to do to us when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan leaves us? All of this is important. All of this is important. You got the pedophiles talking about pedophiles. The white man got the nerve to talk about pedophiles. But they think they slick. They're trying to numb the people to the point where they're going to put out a documentary. I swear, I believe this is the case. I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. They're going to put out a documentary against the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they're going to label the Honorable Elijah Muhammad like how they're labeling Michael Jackson. If we was back in the 60s, that's what we'd be fighting right now. I hope we understand that. if we was back in the 60s, when Malcolm X said what he said about our beloved messenger, Christ, we'd be on the forefront right now defending the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's domestic life. But also, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has a domestic life. I want us to understand what we're looking at. So the court of public opinion is the court, is the same court that crucified Jesus in the New Testament. That same court of public opinion turned on Jesus. So we have the same today. R. Kelly hasn't even gone to court yet, even though he was acquitted too. He hasn't even gone to court yet. But yet, court of public opinion has already condemned him. It wouldn't surprise me if our brother ends up committing suicide. It would not surprise me at all whatsoever if they end up finding R. Kelly hung in his prison cell or whatever the case may be. It would not surprise me at all because, again, they have ruined his life. So even though we could say he has ruined his own life, if you want to go on that route, nevertheless, his life is ruined. We saw the same with our brother Prince. But I just want us to just stop and just take our emotion out of things and just really observe and analyze. Again, I watched that Leaving Neverland documentary. There was some lying devils on that documentary. So the plan was, okay, Michael Jackson's dead, but he humiliated us. So let's humiliate him and let's just make this graphic documentary exposing him. And our people were so emotional, we get caught up in it. And then, so you know, we end up slandering our brother Michael and throwing him away. Again, Michael ain't even the messenger of God. He's just an entertainer. He's a icon, but he's not even, he ain't the messenger of God. Remember what I said in the beginning, the number one aim of this world. Michael isn't the messenger of God. R. Kelly damn sure ain't no messenger of God. But I'm just saying, if they are willing to go to these strengths to label Michael Jackson as an outcast, even in death, 10 years later, what do we think they're going to say about the minister when he departs? And he is not just the black messiah that J. Edgar Hoover was looking for. He is the messiah, period. What do we think they're going to say about him? Especially after he departs. So this is just something for us to ponder over. I didn't get in all to what I wanted to get into tonight. I'm definitely going to have to come back and do a part two. But we have to know who our enemies are. We have to know and understand and defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the Messiah, period. And we have to do the same for his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the Christ, and our great Mahdi, the Master Farah Muhammad. We have to do the same for all three, but we have to know who our enemies are. We have to understand the moves of the enemy and different plans and plots and conspiracies and loopholes of these of our enemies, because they're coming from all angles. We talked about the War of Armageddon. All warfare is based on deception. Propaganda is the foundation of war. Propaganda. Beware of these hypocrites on social media who are justifying rebellion and insubordination and treason. It's treasonous to be against the foundation of the Nation of Islam in this hour. How strong is our foundation? Can we survive? Our foundation Master Farah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that he wants everybody to join the Nation of Islam and to be in the mosque and study group in their local city. So what the hell do you look like as a so-called believer, saying that you love the minister, saying that you love the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, saying that you love Master Farah Muhammad, but at the same time you have the nerve and the audacity to sit back and justify not coming to the mosque or not coming to your local study group? What kind of issue is that? But yet you love the Messiah. You won't even show up to you won't even follow simple instructions. Especially in this hour where our minister is literally being strung up on the cross and we don't see it? So we just better wake up, clean up, we better stand up, we better smell the coffee, because it's about to get hectic out here in these streets. The Nation of Islam, I suggest we all go back and watch our brother, student minister, Demetric Muhammad. He delivered a monumental lecture a few months back at Mas Maryam, but he was talking about the Nation of Islam being outlawed. Outlawed. He went into how the Southern Poverty Law Center labeled every mosque and study group, student minister, et cetera, as a hate group and a leader of a hate group. All of this is relevant. All of this is relevant. We're going to come back and we're going to do a part two. And I want to do a panel discussion about Eric Muhammad and these other splinter groups, these other people. I want to do a panel discussion because we have to know who we're dealing with, man. Our people don't know the difference between us and them until they get amongst us and them. And they'll see that there's a difference. Our people don't know, man. It's our job to teach the uncivilized civilization. So remember what I said about English lesson C1, C2, and how you'll put those together and you'll end up seeing three. Again, the 19th letter in the English alphabet is the letter S. The fifth letter in the English alphabet is the letter E. Two E's. C1, C2, C3. So you put that together, 1955. Again, 1955, you take away 400 years, you get 1555. And then on top of that, you add 1619 plus 400, you get 2019, because that's the official years of us being under their rulership in America from 1619, documented, 1619 to 2019, 400 years. The minister is the epicenter. He's the centerpiece of all of this, man. And once we understand that, and once we get connected to that, and once we're able to prove that, then everything would be smooth sailing from here on out to a certain extent. But remember, the God is a God of justice, man. And a lot of our people are going to suffer, unfortunately, because of the rejection of the Messiah, the Son of Man. That's a sin. I can't stress that enough. That's a sin. These hypocrites don't fall victim to their slander. And we're going to do a decoding process on their moves. So I suggest to everybody who's listening, everybody who's paying attention to me right now, take this broadcast, spread it to your family, your friends, the believers, because it's really, really going to get, it's going to get bad out here. And we have to make sure that we're in tune with one another, but more importantly, we're in tune with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because to be out of touch with him, it will put you on the wrong side of history. To be an enemy of him, it will put you on the wrong side of history. again, like I said, he's the source. It's in the math. It's in the book. You are really, we are really walking with the Son of God. And we have to just accept that and be able to defend that. Mashallah, next time, it won't be just me up here rambling. It'll be my brother or my sister be up here to join us. Shout out to Brother Juwan Ali and Sister Desiree Muhammad. They're phenomenal help, and they do a great job helping your brother out, because it's a lot of work to put this together. And I'm very appreciative of both of them for standing by me and everything. But I'm just saying, we have to just really be very careful out here. And we have to remember as well that the mosque is a safe haven for all of us. So if you're not in your local mosque or your local study group, I'm urging you, go back. Follow the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because it's going to save your life. All the problems that you have with people, and you think somebody's talking about you and all that stuff, sweep all that under the rug, man. It's deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. I'm your brother, Brother X, and I'm out of here. Assalamu alaikum.
Only God can judge, is that right?
Only God, man.
Nobody else. All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Perhaps I was blind to the facts. Fast in the back, I couldn't trust my own hopes. Just a bunch of dirty rats. Will I succeed? Never know it from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone. Tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped at birth. Cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family. And they say it's the white man I fear, but it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish to die. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. In all my memories, I'm seeing brothers bleed, and everybody grieves, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get